Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, talking to you about winter without worries, not being afraid of the cold, not being injured in the cold. We're talking a little bit about the physics of this, the science of it. You know, we lose heat through conduction, where it's just transferred directly into another material. The air is another material that pulls it away from us. Convection, as a fluid like the air is warmed, that warm air wants to float up off of you. The wind is a forced convection. If you have moving air, it's forcing that movement of air away from you, and then radiation. Well, we want to interrupt those things. Now, forced convection, we call that wind chill. Wind chill can be a serious problem. I tell people sometimes, you know, I've been out in wind chills of 120 below zero, and it's like, ooh, wow. It's like, well, it's no big deal. Just don't let the wind blow on your flesh. You see, wind chill is only in an effect when it gets on the skin, when you have bare flesh. If you're covered up with thick insulation, and if you have a wind barrier on it, and there's no air moving through the insulation getting to your skin, 120 below zero wind chill is meaningless. You're not going to be hurt by it. So, but it's very dangerous. I don't want to minimize that. If you're out in, let's say it's 0 degrees, and you have a 40-mile-an-hour wind blowing, that is the equivalent still air temperature. In other words, you'll cool at the cooling rate of minus 53 below zero. That's what it's all about. It's the rate at which you'll cool. Now, it's not going to be any colder than zero. In other words, if you took a bottle of water and you set it outside, it was warm water, 98-degree water, you put it outside, it's going to cool down to the ambient air temperature, which is zero. It's just that it's going to get to zero at the rate as though it was minus 53 in that 0-degree temperature with 40-mile-an-hour wind. So it's the rate of cooling, and it can become very hazardous because you can damage flesh in a hurry. But wind chill is easy to protect from. Just don't let the wind blow on you. Just a couple of other little things very quickly here, and then we get into the more practical side of doing things. The question might be, does the shape of the object make any difference on how rapidly it cools? And the answer is, well, yes. If you think of a cube or a sphere, which one is going to cool more rapidly? Well, a cube shape is going to cool more rapidly if they're the same volume. They have the same volume inside of them, a sphere and a cube. The cube's going to cool more rapidly because it actually has more surface area. And it's the surface area through which we lose heat that causes the cooling. Well, our bodies obviously are more complicated than being a sphere or being a cube in shape. You have all these little appendages and little things that stick out. Here's the principle. Here's why we talk about that. If you want to keep your hands warm, is it easier to keep your hands warm in a glove with all of your fingers spread apart or in a mitten with them all close together? In a mitten, you have less surface area. Now, that's assuming that the insulation value of the glove and the mitten were the same. I mean, if you had a thin, uninsulated mitten, you compared it to an insulated glove, obviously the glove will work better. But when the insulation is the same, the shape makes a difference because you have less surface area with your fingers together in a mitten than you do with them spread out. That's why mittens will work better than gloves in the extremes. You understand that when your hands and fingers are getting cold, you make a fist with them. That's to keep those fingers from sticking out there and losing heat so well. You wrap them up in the palm of your hand. The sphere of your folded up hand loses less heat, loses heat more slowly than exposed fingers do. Now then, what about the size? Does size have an effect? Well, size does have an effect. Even if you take the same exact shape, let's say you have a sphere, and you have a sphere that's a 1-inch diameter sphere, and you have a sphere that's 4-inch diameter, which one is going to cool more rapidly and why? Now, the 4-inch sphere has a larger surface area, so you might think, well, it's going to cool faster, there's larger surface area, and it can lose more heat, and that's true. It'll be pumping more heat out into the environment. But the small one, the 1-inch, will cool internally more rapidly, many times more rapidly, than the larger one will. It's a surface area to volume ratio. And after this break, I'll tell you why that's so important for you to know in your stewardships about the difference in size of people.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips talking about winter without worries. Going through some of the science or the physics of why we do what we do. Remember before the break I talked about this 1-inch sphere and this 4-inch sphere and same temperature and the same environment. Which one is going to cool more quickly? Obviously the larger one has more surface area. It's giving off more heat. But the small one cools more quickly because it has a greater surface area to volume ratio. As a matter of fact, the surface area to volume ratio of the 1-inch sphere versus the 4-inch sphere is 3.997 times greater than the other one. So it has a relative surface area that's much higher. And you're going like, what does that have to do with me and my family? I'm not a sphere. Yes, but you have small people around you. You have children. You have infants. And a small person, a 2-year-old, an infant, has a huge relative surface area compared to an adult, which means they chill much more quickly, much more rapidly. You have to watch out for them. And the double trouble is when you're talking about really small people, young people, infants, they can't tell you, I'm getting cold. They can't say, Mom, Dad, it's starting to feel kind of uncomfortable here. you wait until they're in trouble. You know, they start to cry, then you can't figure out what's going on with them necessarily. You have to watch out for them much more so than an adult. In fact, some of you folks may have experienced this when you're taking young children swimming with you. You know, and you're in a swimming pool and the water's like 80 degrees. Air temperature, that's just fine, but in the water, that's awful. I mean, awful cold by comparison. And so here's the big guy in there with his little four-year-old kid, and they're swimming around, and the kid comes up to dad after 15 minutes and says, Dad, I want to get out of the pool, I'm freezing. It's like, oh, you wimp, you know, you little baby, just stay in here. No, this kid's going into hypothermia because he's chilling much more rapidly than the big guy is. So watch out for them. Okay, now then, let's go to two principles of body warmth. The most important task in the winter is to retain the heat. Keep warm. That's what it's all about. All right, so how do we keep warm? Well, it's very simple. We use clothing. Well, we can use a house, we can use a building, we use other things like that. We're just going to talk about the clothing. And then we're going to talk about how this clothing can retain the heat and release the moisture. So what is clothing again? Personal, portable, climatic, protection. That's all that it is. Now, you go down to the store and you're going to buy some cold weather clothing, a sleeping bag, a coat, insulated boots. What do all of them have hanging on them? They got this hang tag, this dingle-dangle tag that's on there. And what does it say? It says something like, you know, comfort range or comfort rating. And it might be, you know, plus 10, 0, 10 below, 20, 30 below, you know, for all these different items. Well, how's that worked out for you? If you've been out there using those things and you bought a sleeping bag that was rated for 10 below 0, how's it worked? I haven't had one person in my many, many years of teaching these concepts, I haven't had one person come to me and say, yeah, I bought this 20 below 0 sleeping bag and I slept in it at 20 below 0 and it was great. They come back with all kinds of words to say about those things, and some of them I don't want to repeat. I mean, they bought this thing that's supposed to be good for 20 below 0, and it's like, I'm out there at 10 above, and I'm dying in this thing. You buy footwear that says, you know, comfort rated for 40 below 0 or 20 below 0, you know, you got cold, frozen feet. So what's the value of these hang tags? In fact, I used to wonder, well, how do they come up with these numbers? Do they get some big gorilla who's covered with hair to sleep in that sleeping bag? You know, am I just a wimp? Is that the problem? And I found out that everybody seems to have the same problem. In live classes, this is what I'll do, and you know, I think you see it on the DVD that we have on clothing. I hold up a pair of flip-flops, you know, thongs. I hold them up and I say, this is good for 60 below zero. This really is good for 60 below zero. And then I usually am standing there in some kind of shoes or sandals, you know, I can hold those up and say, these are good for 60 below zero too. And people are going like, what? Okay. It's not a question of how cold, it's how long. You see, obviously, standing on a pair of flip-flops with bare feet on the snow, if you're standing on those things, that really is going to be better than your bare feet right on the snow. But how long are your feet going to be good? Well, about, you know, 2 seconds, maybe. And if you have a pair of loafers on with regular socks, all right, maybe a minute, and then you're in trouble. So you see, you have to understand how, the comparison, let's level the playing field with these things. I've done a lot of testing of things, both in the real-world environment, but inside of cold chambers and cold boxes. In one of them, you see the slides in the DVD, sitting in this cold box, sitting in a warm room with your feet and legs going down inside of an insulated box, and then we can put one boot on one foot, a different boot on the other foot. I'm sitting in a warm room, so the core doesn't have any effect on it. We run the box. Our standard temperature was to run it at 30 below zero. I can put on a pair of these felt-lined snow packs, or I can put on the bunny boot, the white bunny boot, or we put on the Powell's Arctic boot that we make, or different things like that. I've tested dozens of them, one on one foot, one on the other, thermocouples taped all over the feet, and just record what they do. Well, there's a footwear out there, and I will quote it because it's the company's official line, and so I can say it, and I'm just giving you facts. I'm not picking on anybody, but it's a Sorel boots made in Canada, the Caribou model, that they say is rated for 20 below zero. That's what the hang tag says on it, 20 below zero. And it loses, in terms of foot temperature, you lose more than 20 degrees per hour toe temperature. The Army VB boot, it drops at 16 degrees per hour. The thing that I'm going to talk about and give you an idea how you make them, the Pals boot, it loses 1 degree per hour. As a matter of fact, it loses a degree per hour for an hour or two, and then it just kind of stabilizes. I've sat inside that box with my feet at 30 below zero, not moving hour after hour. It gets to be real boring. Now, when you have one of the other footwear on your other foot in there, you're anxious to get out of that box after a half hour, 45 minutes. The pain is getting to be severe. You have one foot that's at 45 degrees, and you have the other foot, you know, that's at like 89 degrees. By the way, your foot temperature is a little lower than the internal temperature. It almost always is. 89 degrees on your feet feels great. 92 degrees feels great. 45 degrees hurts like crazy. Been there, done that. So here's how you would have a meaningful comfort rating tag. If you want to have a hang tag, this is what it would have to tell you, and nobody does this, by the way. It would have to say, how cold? Number one, okay, it's 20 below zero. Okay, 20 below zero. For how long? Are we talking 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here? Are we talking all day? Are we talking continuously? Number three, it'd have to say, under what conditions? And it's also dependent upon your physical health, your physical conditions. Remember I said that if you have a cold core, you can have footwear on. I'll teach you how to make footwear that'll keep your feet warm at 60 below zero. I know it'll keep your feet warm at 60 below zero because I've been out in 60 below zero temperatures. It works. But if you have a cold core and you don't have any circulation going to your feet and you have that 60 below zero footwear on, you're going to have cold feet. So it's a whole bunch of things that affect the performance, and you have to be aware of that. Just be careful about buying something based on the hang tag. That's all that I'm saying. If you buy a sleeping bag that says 20 below zero, then by golly, try it out at zero, 10 above, 10 below. Be sure that you know that it'll work there. If you buy a pair of footwear that says it'll take care of you at 20 below zero, well, goodness, go out and find some 20 degree below weather and get in it. If you have to, go down to a meat locker, someplace in a cold storage. And if you have to, go rent, you know, I've done this. You go in there and you rent a storage locker for a month and just go in there. You don't have to put anything in it. You just rented it. You're being fair with those people. Go inside with your cold weather clothing on and hang out for a couple of hours. Now, by the way, they wonder what the heck you're doing in there. I've had them come in and say, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And, okay, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just kind of, see, I have my locker open there where they're going to put the meat. I'm just kind of planning out where I'm going to put the chops and the burgers and those things. You know, they shake their head and they leave. But there I am in my Arctic clothing finding out, will it really work? So you can do that. That's how you know. You gain experience. Remember what I said about your attitude is changed by your knowledge, and knowledge equals information by experience? I'm giving you some hints how you can do that. All right? Don't just buy a hang tag. Get experience with it. And if it doesn't work, fix it. Modify things. Change things. Get more. Do something different until you know that you will be okay at 10 above, 40 degrees. If you're in a climate where it never gets colder than 40 degrees, maybe that's all the colder you have to protect yourself from. Except I wouldn't rely upon that, because what happens if the weather changes? What happens if you move? What happens if there's an extreme cold snap? You know, every now and then Florida loses its orange crop because it gets, you know, 28 degrees down there when it's normally not hardly ever below 50. So you've got to be prepared for the worst conditions that you may face in your area or the conditions that you may find yourself in. All right, let's talk about insulation, the truth about insulation. What is insulation? You probably have in your mind what some of these things look like. You know, if I was in the live class, I hold up this puffy ball of stuff that is Qualifil by brand name. And my question is this insulation? And some people shake their head yes, and some people shake their head no, and some people just kind of look at you afraid to answer because it's like, this guy will probably zing me if I say whatever, you know, whatever I say, I'm going to be wrong. It's not about zinging you, but it's helping you understand what insulation is. There's all kinds of things, Qualifil and Polar Fleece and Thermal Loft and Polar Tech and Fensilate and Holofil 808 and Lamalite Thermal R, Poltech, Holofil 2, Polar Guard Thermalite, Space Fabric, Aluma 2000, Hydrofoil, Kaplan, Chinchilla, Polar Light, Polar Plus, etc., etc., etc. We have this list. What does it mean about those things? What will they really do? What actually is insulation? What is it that actually insulates you? What might you be looking for to purchase, to buy, to use? That's what I want to help you understand so that you don't get yourself cold or injured. We'll talk further about Winter Without Worries after this break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips talking about winter without worries and how you can become prepared to deal with cold weather no matter where you are, no matter how severe it may be. Just before the break, we were talking about insulations, and I listed off a long list of these different insulations and asked the question, is that insulation? Is that what really insulates you? Clothing insulation is actually only air. It's not the white puffy material or whatever color it is. It's not the material that's the insulation. It's actually the air that is keeping the heat from moving. You see, when we talk about this air insulation, it needs to be trapped. It's stabilized, non-moving, dead air space. It's in little pockets, bubbles, or bundles, and it is dry. That's all that we use in clothing to insulate us. Of course, then some people ask me, they say, well, golly, if that's the case, why is this stuff so expensive if it's just air? And I I get a little, well, I guess maybe sarcastic sometimes. There was an announcement that came out from a company a number of years ago, and it said they had discovered this new miracle space-age insulation, you know, and they touted all these things. I'd look at this company's, you know, news release, and I thought, God, this is incredible. Look at these guys. They finally discovered air. Aren't they amazing? Well, you know what I'm saying here is, you see, you have different ways of trapping the air, different materials that trap it. So let's talk about the effectiveness of those things. First off, I want you to understand that there, we said clothing insulation is actually only air, and that there is no heat in the insulation. The heat is in you. The job of the insulation is to keep it from escaping. Remember the laws of thermodynamics. You're warm. It's cold out there. It wants out. You got to put insulation in the way to keep it from moving. And the other thing is, there's no magic in the insulation. Okay. So how much do you need? How much do you have to surround yourself with? How thick does it have to be? Well, see, basically, it's a matter of the thickness. The more insulation you want to have, the thicker that it needs to be. And it's the air equivalent thickness, not the material. So we have to kind of take a look at something and say how much air is in it compared to something else, because it's really the air equivalent thickness we're looking for. The correct thickness of air that you need to surround yourself with to be outside, now I'm going to say awake. We're not sleeping right now. We're awake. We may be moving a little bit, but not exercising heavily. Awake in Arctic conditions and temperatures below zero. Of course, I know there's some people that go like, well, I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to the Arctic. Of course, in our area here, we're way below the Arctic Circle, but I have mountains right out here outside of my house, and there's true Arctic conditions up there, and those Arctic conditions exist down here, just not very long. And the point is this, you don't have to be exposed to Arctic very long to end up being hurt or dead. So how much insulation do you need to have on so that you can sit outside in the cold or the extreme cold and not be threatened by it, hurt by it, or not even be uncomfortable? You need to surround yourself from head to foot over all of your body. If you'll surround yourself with 1 inch of trapped, stabilized, dry, non-moving air, then you can be comfortable. Now, when you go to bed and when you sleep, we talked about nighttime clothing is bedding. Why do you need more insulation on when you go to sleep? Well, your activity level is lower, and your metabolic rates go down. You're producing less heat. Therefore, you need to retain even more of the heat, a higher percentage of that which you're producing, because you're producing less. So we use bedding at night. We add additional information so that we can stay warm when we sleep. So I'm talking about 1 inch when you're basically awake and you have at least some level of activity. Okay. How about this idea that we hear, and there's all kinds of marketing that goes on to sell you on the idea of having thin insulation. In fact, some of them have a wonderful name about them that talks about them being thin and their miracle and their space age, and you probably know some of the names of those things. How do they really work? Is there such a thing as thin insulation? Because I've been saying it's a matter of thickness. If you need more insulation, it gets thicker. That also means that if you want to stay warm and ultimately dry, but if you want to stay warm in cold temperatures, you put on fat clothing, thick clothing, bulky clothing, all those terrible negative names that the thin insulation people say. You don't have to wear fat clothing. You can look thin and trim, and you don't have to have bulky clothing on. Well, guess what? First off, let me give you the definition of a lie. And I'm pretty blunt, bottom line about some things. The definition of a lie is any communication, whether it's written or unwritten, demonstrated or hidden, spoken or unspoken, any communication with the intent to deceive. Even if the person communicating is ignorant on what they're doing, if they're not speaking the truth, then it ends up being a lie. They may be innocent of lying themselves, but the message is not true. And I'm here to tell you that if you want to stay warm, and you want to stay warm in colder and colder and colder temperatures, it gets thicker and thicker, fatter and fatter, and you need to have at least an inch of trapped, stabilized, dry, non-moving air around you to be okay. So here's what you have to do to stay warm. You have to look fat. And I know some people go like, oh, that's not socially acceptable, and I want to look slim and trim, and I don't want to put on bulky insulation and those things. Okay, well, if you don't want to look fat in your winter clothing, then here's what you do. You have two alternatives. You can take off the fat insulation, and you can look thin, and you can do one of two things. Either you freeze, or you move someplace where it's warm. Simple as that. That's the bottom line. And that's what I'm here to do, is just give you the reality about things. I think most of you experience things and you're kind of going like, well, yeah, that's kind of true. I tried to have on thin stuff and I kept freezing my behindy off out there. It's important that you understand how and why this works so that you can be safe, have a winter without worry. See you after this break with more of What to Do.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Talking to you about preparing without fear and presenting to you materials that are in the course Winter Without Worries. Now, if you have any questions, if you'd like to email me, it's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. You can find our website at www.preparemyfamily.com. And, of course, you can leave a, if you don't have access to the Internet, then please leave a voicemail on a toll-free line. It's 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888-U-GET-SET. And we'll get back with you with answers. We'll answer those questions on the air. I have some of them that have been coming in, and we will work them into all of our programs as we go along. Plus, we'd like to hear of some of your experiences, suggestions, and ideas. Well, we've been talking about insulations. I made a point about the fact that you need to have on some fat clothing if you're going to be warm in the cold, and the colder it is, the fatter the clothing needs to be. It needs to be full of trapped, stabilized, dry, non-moving air, not just material. I mean, if you were wearing an inch of lead, that's not going to insulate you very well. If you're wearing an inch of glass, that doesn't insulate you very well. Of course, if you took that glass and you spun it into tiny little fibers so that it had a lot of air surrounding it, we call that fiberglass insulation, it'd keep you warm, but you really don't want to wear that stuff. Man, that's itchy, ugly stuff. But that's how you take a material like glass that's not a good insulator, turn it into insulation, is by puffing it up and filling it full of air. We do that with all kinds of materials. Even steel wool is a good insulator when you don't have the air blowing through it. It has to be trapped, stabilized, non-moving. Just steel wool doesn't feel good next to skin. Would you like to know what the worst possible clothing insulation would look like? Now, you can't see it on the program, but you'll know what it is when I describe it to you. And I might ask you, why would you like to know what it looks like? Well, people tell me in classes, they say, well, golly, I want to know what it looks like so I don't buy some of it. So if I have it, I'll replace it. If I'm in business, I won't sell it because I don't want to sell or own or use the worst possible clothing insulation. See, I'm an engineer, and I've worked as a consulting engineer, so if somebody hired me to go around the world and find, locate, or invent the worst possible insulation, you know what it looks like? Right, hold these things up in your mind, if you will. Hold up a pair of what we call thermal long underwear. These thermal long underwear, we call them the it's this thin little thing. Sometimes they have a waffle weave on them, you put them on, and of course you've probably worn those things. You've gone outside with one or two pair on, and after a little while you freeze your hiney off out there. What's the problem? Let's analyze them. See, it's the worst possible clothing insulation because we're talking about something that's made from cotton. Cotton. All right? Those cotton, by the way, those cotton thermal long underwear that you have, they're good for two things. They make wonderful rags, and you can cut them up and turn them into diapers. They're just fine. Don't try to use that stuff in the cold, in the winter, to take care of you. It will get you in trouble. Sure, you can put them on for a few hours, go outside, come back in the house, and you can talk about how bad the weather was. That's what people do. They say, man, the weather's bad today. Well, who made the weather? We know who made the weather, and he doesn't make any junk. What you have is bad clothing on. Let's put the responsibility where it lies. The weather is just fine. The weather is beautiful. It's perfect. You're wearing lousy clothing. Fix it, or don't complain about it out there. All right, let's talk about the materials that we use for insulation. There's two basic groups of materials. You have the natural materials, and you have the synthetic materials. We're going to talk about each one of them briefly so you can be making some selections. There are two primary properties of insulation that we're talking about. Number one is its air content, which means, you see, if you have a material and it's full of air, how much is it going to weigh? Well, how much does air weigh? Air doesn't weigh very much, so it's going to be a low in weight and large in volume. We say that's a low density, so it's going to be low density. The air is going to be in small pockets or bubbles or bundles. There's going to be a lot of air in there. It, of course, needs to be stabilized. There won't be a lot of material, and the air doesn't move. We've been just describing things in a different way. That's what you're looking for, is this material. It's lightweight, and it's thick. And it traps the air so it doesn't move around. Okay, the moisture handling characteristics. So the two primary properties are, number one, air content, which wants to be high. The other one is the material's ability to handle the moisture, to move the moisture. First off, the material itself will not like water. It will want to get rid of water. It will not easily pick up the water. And it will easily dry with just a little bit of heat. Those are the properties that we want. Now, what's the issue about water and moisture in the clothing? You see, water transfers heat 25 times faster than air. Water transfers heat 25 times faster than air. And that simply means if you have an insulating material, and you take out just a little bit of the air and you replace it with just a little bit of water, you don't have just a little impact. You have a huge impact. You have a 25-to-1 multiplier. 25-to-1 is big. So 1 ounce of water in your clothing has a huge impact on the insulation value, particularly if that insulation was just barely taking care of you at the moment. All right, let's go back to these materials. Let's talk about natural materials for a moment. You have three primary ones that people have access to. There's really four. Actually, there's several more, but you just don't have them very often. You have cotton. We've already talked about that. And it comes in the form, usually in the form of fabrics. If we're talking about clothing, of course, you have cotton balls and those things like that, but we have the cotton that's woven into fabric. Sometimes it's knitted into a fabric. So there's one material. You have wool. Now, wool can come in several forms. It can be in the form of felt. It can be in the form of yarn that's, spun, and then it can be either woven or it can be knitted. And then, of course, you have down. Beautiful, light, fluffy material. You know, the eider goose down that we talk about, and some wonderful things like that, those little tiny feathers that are down inside the coat. There is silk, and there's furs and skins and things like that. Most people don't have a lot of access to them. But they all have a similar problem. Now, you've commonly hear the general statement that is this. Wool, you can probably finish this one in your minds, wool is the best insulation to use in winter because it is what when what? Because it is warm when wet. Well, I wonder what the truth is really. So we're going to take a look at that for just a moment here and understand. Is that a wife's tale or is that a universal truth? Wool is the best insulation to use because it is warm when wet. Let's take a look at the air content of things like this. Cotton, since it's usually woven in the form of a fabric, its volume-to-weight ratio is actually very low. It has a fairly high weight for the thickness that it has. Down has a very high volume-to-weight ratio. Big, puffy, beautiful stuff, doesn't hardly weigh anything at all, so it's got a huge volume-to-weight ratio. And wool, particularly if it's in the form of felt, its volume-to-weight ratio is quite low. If it's spun into yarn and then it's knitted, it's kind of a medium. It's pretty good that way. Let's do a moisture handling test. We have an idea about those things. Moisture handling is real simple. You can do this at home. On the DVD and the number 2 DVD in the Self-Reliant Family series on clothing, you can see this. We actually do it there, and you can watch it, these time tests. But think about this. Take a dish. Take a bowl. And take a piece of cotton fabric. It may be a cotton shirt. It might be a terry cloth, a towel, or something like that. And when you drop that cotton into the water, what does it do? What does it do? You can see it in your mind's eye. Just sucks up that water and goes right to the bottom. Okay, let's put some down in the water. Take some of these feathers and sprinkle them on the water in there and watch what happens to them. They float on the water for a little while, but after a little bit of time, they get sucked right down into the miscus of the water, right into the surface of the water, and some of them start going right to the bottom in there. They pick up moisture. How about wool? Let's lay a piece of knitted wool on that, or a wool fabric. Lay it on top of the water, and it'll lay there. And the really nice thing about wool is it lays there for a long, long time. Though cotton goes right to the bottom. In just seconds, it's on the bottom. The down, it takes, a minute or so, and it's sucked down into it. You take the wool, you lay it on the water, and I think in the time test on the video, I haven't watched it for a little while, it was something like 15 minutes or 18 minutes, and then it was on the bottom. But it was very slow on the uptake of water. So that'll tell you something about its moisture handling characteristics. It doesn't like to just suck up water immediately, but eventually it does, and it's right down in the water completely wet. All of those materials, as are leather and skins and silk, when you put them in water, they will all suck up water. They'll go to the bottom, some of them faster than others, wool being the best of all. So what we say is that those materials are hydrophilic. Hydro, water, and philic means having an affinity for or loving. So they're hydrophilic. They love water. They pick up water. They hang on to water. So the conclusion is that natural materials are generally very hydrophilic in water. They like water. They hold on to water. And here's the real problem. It takes considerable heat to bake out the water. Now, by the way, we'll show you a little test in a moment. You can prove this stuff to yourself. Let's take a look at synthetic materials for insulation. You have polyester, and polyester is the one, you know that list of insulations I read off at the very beginning of a couple of breaks back in there? every one of those things was a polyester material. It can be in the form of fabric, it can be in the form of a fleece, or it can be in a fiber fill in a batting. You have polypropylene, which is typically in the form of a fabric, and then we have polyurethane, which is in the form of an open cell foam. So let's take a look at the air content evaluation. If we look at fabrics that are made of either polypropylene or polyester, their weight-to-volume ratio is kind of medium. If you look at the fleece, it has a fairly high volume-to-weight ratio. Fiberfill, very high volume-to-weight ratio. And foams have a high volume-to-weight ratio. Let's do our water test. So we can say, well, there can be a lot of air in those things depending on how they're made, and we're looking for air. Now let's see how they handle moisture. Let's take some of our polyester batting. Any one of those names I read off, and you lay them on top of the water, what do? They just lay there. They're going to lay there forever. Now, the surface will be damp where it's touching it, but they're not going to suck water up into the fibers and up into the material and draw it inside and go to the bottom. It will float on top of that water until the water all evaporates. Let's take some of our polypropylene and lay that fabric on top of there. Same thing. It'll just lay on the water. You have to force it down in the water to get it to get wet. Now, let's take some of this polyurethane material. And here I have to be careful in the description because you've seen materials like this. In fact, it's a lot of times used in mops and sponges and things. You can design it to perform different ways. But I'm going to take some of the open cell urethane foam that we like to talk about, and I'll lay it on top of the water. What does it do? It will lay there on that water forever. It's not going to go anyplace. It'll just sit on top until the water evaporates away. There's not a capillary action. There's not a wicking action that pulls the moisture up into it. See, cotton is a wicking material. Down is a wicking material. Wool is a wicking material. Not a real good one, but it is a wicking material. It'll pull water into it. So we talk about these synthetic materials as being hydrophobic. Hydro, water, phobic, which means an aversion of or lacking an affinity for or a dislike of. So they're hydrophobic. So when you consider the thermal and moisture performance, the synthetic materials are far superior to the natural ones. Now, here I must give you a very important safety warning about things. When we talk about any of the synthetic materials, what are they made from? They're all made from, in most cases, petroleum. Some of them might come from a hydrocarbon of coal, but it's primarily petroleum. And that simply means that they will burn and or melt. You must be cautious about that. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But from a performance standpoint, in most situations, we want to use synthetic materials. They will far outperform the natural materials. Now, there's a place for the natural materials. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at what we've done between the moisture tests, you can simply say, if we're talking a natural material and you have cotton, wool, and down, which is the best one to use? By far, down is way superior. And here is where we actually give the real answer to that wives' tale that said wool is the best thing to use in winter because it's warm and wet. Wool is the best thing to use when you compare it to cotton and down. Wool is by far the best thing to use because it will be warmer when wet than those other two. But once it does get full of water, it is not as good insulation, and it's very hard to get rid of the moisture. Here's what we talk about getting rid of the moisture. You probably have laying around the house, I'll bet you can find a cotton sock, you know, a sweat sock. They call it a sweat sock because you sweat into them and it holds the moisture, so it will evaporative cool and cool you down. That's what a sweat suit is. It wicks the moisture into the cotton and allows it to evaporate away, and it helps to cool you. So let's take a cotton sock, a wool sock, and a synthetic sock. Take all three of those, get them completely wet. Take them to your dryer, toss them in your dryer, turn the dryer on. Come back 15 minutes later, what do you have? Well, you have a dry synthetic sock, and you have a cotton sock and a wool sock that are full of hot water. And those two natural fiber socks have to grind away in that dryer, pumping air into them. It's like 140-degree air, and they have to be in there for like an hour before they're dry. You have to bake the water out of them. So from a clothing that's going to self-dry, be able to dry very easily, which would be the better material to use? Well, it's the synthetic materials because they don't hold the moisture in the fiber. They are hydrophobic. The synthetics are hydrophobic. They don't like water. It's easy to get rid of it. Now, when we talk about the synthetic materials, it's going to come in a couple of forms. One of the forms is going to be in these fibers. these little spun fibers, these little filaments in there. And they're white and puffy, and they can be puffed up into a batting kind of a material, or they can be twisted together and made into thread and yarns, and they can be woven or knitted. But they're all what I call twisted fibers or tangled fibers. The other one that we talk about that we are going to be moving into more and more, in fact, next week we'll be doing exclusively in this area, is the open cell polyurethane foam plastic. Now, it's not foam rubber. It is a plastic. It is all synthetic, has nothing to do with latex or rubber. And it's open cell, meaning that the bubbles, it's kind of like soap bubbles that were rigid, and you popped all the, you know, the windows in between them in there, and it kept its shape. That's what we mean by open cell. You can breathe right through it. You can blow right through it. It means that it's full of air, and much like the tangled fibers, it's got all this air, but it's much more organized. It's much more structured. It's almost like a spherical honeycomb with all these things. Now, there's a lot of properties about the foam, because, see, not all foams are made the same. But I'll tell you right here and right now, that is the primary insulation that we're going to use most of the time. We're going to use different fabrics and things, but for insulation, I use open cell polyurethane foam plastic. This is not something that just happened last week or last year. It started by taking care of cold, frozen feet in 1962. And since 1962, we've been able to keep feet warm and heads and hands and everything else warm, go above the Arctic Circle, fall in the ice and get wet, all kinds of goofy things without any waterproofing on, and stay warm, comfortable, and dry, and have it self-dry. So we're going to be using the open cell urethane foams. I'll talk more about that after our break as we finish up this day.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. As we finish up the first part of this program, we'll continue next week on Winter Without Worries. And if you haven't already figured it out, I'm going to be giving you all of the quote-unquote secrets of what we do. And why would I want to do that? Well, I told you earlier that my purpose in doing this, what I believe is my stewardship, is to share everything that I possibly know that I can do to help other people prepare for whatever it is. Whether you're going to be stuck snowmobiling someplace, or you're caught in your house without any utilities, or you have to go off someplace to be safe for whatever reason, that's what this is about. And we want to talk about winter. Since winter is coming on, you can gain some experience this winter that will help you understand you're not threatened. You remember what I said early on, that if you do what I do, you can do what I do? That's not double talk. That's just simply saying if you practice the same things that I practice, learn how to use them, take advantage of them, you can go out and do some of these things. Now, next week we'll continue this on insulations, and we're going to start giving you an idea about what you can build and how you might use some of these things. It's a little harder to do over the air like this than in the live seminars and classes. A lot of this information is on DVD, but there's many things that are not on DVD yet. We're working to get it there as fast as I can. I have some assistance that's coming on board that will allow us to do that. And we're also traveling around the country doing the live classes and seminars. But I will give everything to you that I possibly can. Whether you ever make it to a class or not, I don't care. It's just fine. If we can make a difference in your lives, that's what it's all about. Well, in just a little bit of review, you remember it's about the principles. When we talk about the truth about life, there's no doubt that tomorrow will come. There's no dispute that things will happen, but how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, if you're prepared for the worst winter, the worst weather, the coldest, or whatever it is, if you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. And I want your life to be an adventure of growth and development and change, and so that we can do the things that we came here to do. If you will learn about these insulations and some of the things I've been teaching you and more, there's a reason for everything that I've been sharing with you. It's because these things work. Not because I say so, but that the laws of nature that were created by the master engineer, by God himself, he created these laws, and it's for us to learn them and to utilize them, to our benefit. When you fight against the laws of the earth, if you will, you're fighting against the laws of heaven in a way. They're in the temporal form. They're in the simple form. But if you fight against them or you ignore them, you don't have to know the law. You don't even have to understand how or why gravity works. But you know, if you fall out of a plane, you're probably going to die. You don't have to understand the laws of physics about cold weather and winter. If you break them, you're going to be cold, wet, miserable, hypothermia, frostbite, death. Any of those things can occur. That's why I want to teach you everything that I possibly can so you can avoid injury and discomfort. Don't want to turn you into a snow camping freak. You don't have to spend time above the Arctic Circle with me. I'd be glad to have you come. We're going to take some more trips up there. I'd simply want you to be safe in your environment, in your conditions, wherever you are, so that you can face your future without any fear. You can face winter without worries. We'll talk about summer without worries, too, and heat without worries, because that can be threatening also. Any of these topics, once you learn how and why things work and how to prepare yourself, you'll be safe, comfortable, and you don't have to be threatened by them. This is, from my standpoint, about helping to create self-reliant families that are interdependent within self-reliant communities. That's what it's all about. Live a provident life by making such provisions in all areas of your life that you can face the future without fear. This is Jim Phillips. I will see you next week. Have a great day. With